The words of God given to us today are Revelation chapter 3, verse 1 through 6.
1절을
Allow me to read the words. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, These are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up, strengthen what remains, and is about to die. For I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. The one who is victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. Think about what the following hymns have in common. Number 269, Lord, I Believe. Heart Longings. 463, Lord, I Want to Be a Christian. 552, When the Morning Breaks Anew. That is, the lyricists of the hymns are unknown. Today we use 645 hymns in total. Among them, the lyrics of 68 hymns are anonymous, which include black spirituals and folk songs, which came from various nations. Lyricists of more than 10% of all are unknown. There are hymns that have beautiful Christian backgrounds of the birth. Father Joseph, who had never written a song, had to write lyrics to make a song that can be sung to a guitar accompaniment for a Christmas Eve mass because of a broken organ. The song is the hymn number 109, Silent Night, Holy Night. Pastor Benjamin Schmuck wrote the lyrics of a song with his prey at a hopeless moment when finding his two sons were dead from a fire after getting back home from a visit. The song is hymn number 549, My Jesus, As Thou Wilt. We have no idea, however, how the lyrics of hymns that have not known lyricists were written. But there must be no hymns that were written with no reason or testimony. Therefore, when we meditate with those lyrics, they are very touching. Number 269, Lord, I Believe, sings God's grace that saved him with his blood as the dying thief who on the cross with Jesus realized that Jesus was the Messiah at the last moment and saved. The lyrics of number 368, Heart Longings, gives us a feeling of longing for grace of the Lord so badly. That is why the song confesses that God pours the Spirit when hungry and thirsty, lets earthly deceits have no lodging within, fails to the uttermost part so that he can make them only strength and be satisfied with only Jesus. Number 463, Lord, I want to be a Christian. It's a heart-wrenching black spirit. The black people in Africa were sold as slaves and came to America only because of their skin color. However, they tried hard to overcome their desperate situation with faith and sang for an eternal life. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart, in my heart. I want to be more holy in my heart. I want to be like Jesus in my heart. How could they sing like this? They could have sung to blame God. How could he make them be slaves if he's alive? They could have cursed those who made and sold them as slaves. And how could they want to be more holy? It seems that they should have sung to live whatever they want and take revenge on the world. In addition, they could have sung they want to be like those with the power rather than Jesus. They want to be like wealthy people to have bigger voice to the world. Then who and what made them sing this song? It's the Lord and the grace of the Lord. And number 552, when the morning breaks anew, that also makes us to have a new determination and courage so that this song is sung in almost every church for a new year. Hymns with anonymous lyricists make us feel those in the lyrics made every effort to live right in the Lord, with the Lord, and toward the Lord. That effort made them live these beautiful and touching hymns. If they were a renowned writer, magician, scholar, or minister, the names of them would have been known to us. However, the hymns are rather more touching because we don't know their names. We do not know their names, but the Lord might do. The lyricists all wanted to live dressed in white at the time. In the church in Sardis as well, there were those who made effort to live in the Lord, with the Lord, and toward the Lord. Their names and numbers are unknown, but they saved Sardis Church. Sardis was the capital of the Lydia Kingdom, prosperous in 6 to 7 centuries BC, and one of the biggest cities in the world at the time. Gold dust from the Pactolus River, wool and dye industry gave Sardis immense wealth. Also, Sardis played as a center of trade and transport in Minor Asia, since there were five main roads connected to other cities from Sardis. Moreover, blessed with geographical conditions, Sardis was impregnable. It was located at an elevation of 550 meters and had Tmolus Mountain in the north, and both sides of the city were steep cliffs. At the center of the Tmolus was road where people come and go, which was also a steep and rough ramp. However, Sardis was so overconfident that it was occupied by King Cyprus. And Antiochus III the Great in about 350 years. So when the Apostle John sent a letter to Sardis Church, the old prosperous city at 550 meter high location was ruined, and there was a new city created at lower area of the mountain. Sardis was still a vibrant market with the wool and dye industry, but was failing with extravagance and pleasure. This exactly mirrored the Sardis church. Sardis church was known to people. Therefore, Sardis church, as well as the people, thought they were alive when the Lord said they were dead. Flowers newly placed in a vase look fresh, but they are not alive, even though they look alive. We know very well where the flowers will be found in 1 or 2 weeks. This is why the Lord woke up the spirit of them with five imperative verbs: wake up, strengthen, remember, obey it, and repent. It was just like a spiritual CPR. However, there were those in Sardis church who have not soiled their clothes, as testified in today's scripture, verse 4. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. The previous churches have problems with few people following the teachings of Nicolaitans, the teaching of Balaam and Jezebel, who called herself a prophetess. But in Sardis, most of them had problem, while only few had no problem. As told last time, molino, meaning to soil, came from a word melas, meaning black. Most of people in Sardis church lived as Christians dressed spiritually tainted and black. Living in Sardis, they were captured by virtues sought by the city, losing spiritual tension, and did not realize their faith was attacked and ruined. Moreover, they took many activities, but they were just lacking in every way to God. However, there were few people dressed in white, not soiled, and black. There were those who wrote lyrics of praise with their life. These, a few people who have not soiled their clothes, remind us Abraham who prayed for Sodom and Gomorrah. God decided to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah due to their heavy sins. As God told Abraham that Abraham said as testified in Genesis 18:25 as follows, "Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do aright?" Abraham prayed to God to have mercy on Sodom and Gomorrah because there was no one else except God to help them. He prayed especially for his personality. He didn't say, "Treating the righteous and the wicked alike is not right." Rather, he prayed, "Treating the righteous and the wicked alike, far be it from you." Therefore, Abraham was answered that he will not destroy them when he finds 10 righteous people to his question. Will it destroy Sodom when there are 50 righteous people? And God told people in Jerusalem, letting them realize how South Judea disregard God's will when the prophet Jeremiah worked in Jeremiah 5:1. "Go up and down the streets of Jerusalem, look around and consider, search through her squares. If you can find but one person who deals honestly and seeks the truth, I will forgive the city." He said he would forgive the city if he can find 10 who deal honestly and seek the truth in Sodom and Gomorrah, or in Jerusalem, where they are full of people of God, the Sabbath is kept every week, all worships are offered, the Passover, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles were kept with countless numbers of people. God says that he will forgive the city if he can find but one person who deals with honesty and seeks the truth. Through a person who is righteous and does not dirty their clothes before God, a community can survive. Of course, that does not mean the eternal salvation. It will be judged based on the faith and life of each one. However, in this world, whether my life is positive or negative, it impacts others. Thanks to the righteous life of one person, Joseph, the whole households of Potiphar were blessed. Because of one person, Joseph. Egypt and its surrounding nations were able to safely pass the 7-year famine. Therefore, the whole family can be renewed because of me. The church can be different because of me. And my workplace can be born again only because of me. It doesn't matter at all if I don't have the utmost power. Joseph was a slave when he made the house of Potiphar blessed. The Apostle Peter was ignorant, and the Apostle Paul was poor, but they renewed the whole mankind. A few people who have not soiled their clothes saved Sardis Church. What is important in our Christian life is whether we belong to those few people or not. The Lord says that He will walk with those who have not soiled their clothes and dressed in white. In the ancient Persia, people who most trusted the king were given an advantage to have a chance to walk the garden of palace with the king. Those were called the companions of the garden. If we do not dirty our clothes, we will walk with God in the kingdom of God after letting the last breath out in this land. About Enoch, the Bible says like as follows in Genesis 5:21 to 24. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God, then he was no more because God took him away. That's really envious life. Enoch walked the last step with God in this land, and the next step became the first one with God in the kingdom of God. If we walk every day with God, we will also be able to take the astonishing first step after having the last step here. God made three promises with those who have not soiled their clothes, dressed in white, and walked with Him in the verse 5. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. He promised to those that he will dress them in white, never blot out their names from the book of life, and acknowledge their names before his Father and his angels. White clothes have meanings in three ways. First, white clothes meant festivity in the ancient time. People wore white clothes in such festivity. Therefore, being dressed in white means that we will be the guests to the festivity to be held in the kingdom of the Lord. A festival in the world does not last long, but the one of God is everlasting. Second meaning of white clothes in ancient times is victory. In Rome, all citizens were in white and welcomed soldiers for their victory at war. On such occasion, the cities were called Urbs Candida, the city in white. We are those who will have an eternal victory in the future. Some hymns have heart-rending impression, while others make our heart beat. And one of them is to a country of their own. The song starts with the phrase, when spending a night in a wild field during a pilgrimage. And there's a part as follows. When white flowers bloomed by the river of life, and an angel dressed in white sings a hymn, I will be crowned in honor. Angels dressed in white will cheer us who we ascend to the kingdom of God. Lastly, white clothes means purity. The reward of being pure is seeing God. So Jesus Christ also said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." God also promises that if we are those who have not soiled our clothes, He will never blot out our names from the book of life, but will acknowledge our names before His Father and His angels. It is said that ancient kings had the register of his people. If an individual seeks a conspiracy or dies, his name is blotted from the register. Our names not being blotted from the book of life means that we are God's people. Taking over the world is no better than being listed on the book of life. Especially the word homologio, meaning acknowledging, means everything which is said in court is truth. In other words, if we are those who have not soiled our clothes and dressed in white, when we stand before God, He would acknowledge our names being listed on the book of life as if He testifies in the court. In hymn number 287, whose writer of the lyric is unknown, we see the last prayer of the writer in the third verse. Come to Christ before His throne. We shall stand robed in white, in the bright and shine home an eternal light. Now is time for us to look at ourselves. There's an old saying that it is easier to fathom the deep water than the shallow mind of man. You can't understand what others have in their mind. You don't know if they live in spiritually untainted clothes or not. They may be in pure clothes, or they can be misunderstood to be dressed tainted, even when they are in pure clothes. Here are your fear and courage. No matter what others say, you will know who our God is. Therefore, me, whom people evaluate, is not me. Me, whom I judge myself, is me. Well, no. Me, judged by God, is true me. God doesn't consider how expensive our clothes are. He doesn't care what our clothes are made of. What's important is whether they are soiled or not, or whether they are white or not. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes and some for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Those who have not dirtied their clothes, dressed in white, become the pathway to the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, please let us be the Christians going with you in white clothes. Let us be in white clothes cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, like the thief on the cross who was saved by the mercy of the blood at the last moment when he realized who Jesus Christ was. Let us be thirst for the grace of God rather than being swayed by the temptation of the world. And let us be in white clothes the Holy Spirit dressed us with. Let us be in the white clothes by the grace of God as we love truly, make ourselves holy, and become be like you even when we are angry, blamed, disappointed, and frustrated. Let our clothes be whiter 10 years after than now. And when we stand before the Lord at the last moment of our lives, when we met him first time, we've pretended to be dressed in white, even though the clothes was soiled. Let us be more comfortable with the white clothes the Lord dresses us by making the soiled clothes uncomfortable, even though it brings us pleasure and profit. And let our families be familia candida, families in the white clothes, and let our community be ecclesia candida, the church in the white clothes. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.